Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I identify as a transgender woman.
I identify as a straight transgender female.
There is no such thing as transgender. You're either XX or XY.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Do you have somebody you study? This is Wretched Radio. Yeah, you should study your spouse, especially you, dude. You need to get a PhD in your wife. You need to study her like a nobody's business. What drives her? What motivates her? What agitates her? Don't just recognize the things that she does that maybe gets up your nose or you're disappointed in. No, ask the question, why? What is moving her to act like that? What is her concern, her fear, her challenge, her struggle, her disappointment? You got to get in there and sort those things so that you can present her as a lovely bride. You can live with a woman who is joyful and happy because you've studied her and you walk alongside her and you undergird her. We should be doing that for one another, but I think it's especially true for men to hear the admonition, study your wife. It'll bear lots of fruit for everybody involved. You, her, the kids, church, everybody benefits when we study our spouses. But I would also ask, is there anybody you're studying? And this goes for female or male. This goes for women and men. Do you have somebody that you look at and go, I think that's what I want to look like. I think that person has attributes that I wish that I possessed, or at least in a fuller measure. Do you have anybody you study? I have to tell you, that I don't know how I stumbled onto this. I think it was just God's kindness that he brought individuals into my life where I went, they're noticeably different. They just seem to be, well, maybe more sanctified, more mature. That ain't hard for me to bump into people who are more mature. But that kind of arrest my attention to go, how do I get there? What did they do to be like that? And I bring this up because I just received a text from Dr. Erwin Lutzer. If you're not familiar with Erwin Lutzer, I think he's authored 50, 60 books. He's extremely prolific. He was the pastor at Moody Bible Church for 36 years. But he's not stopped. He's not slowing. He's 84 years old, I think, give or take, 82. Sorry, Erwin, if you're only 82. But he's still going and jamming. And this is one of those guys that the Lord put in my path where I went, okay, what's up with you? Why? How do you comport yourself like that? There is something about comportment. I know we don't think this is a big deal anymore, but how one carries yourself, how you walk, how you sit, and I'm not talking about like we comport ourselves like royalty. I can walk with a book in my head. No, I'm just talking about you walk confidently and humbly simultaneously. Do you know anybody who does that? Study them. Get your eyes on them. Watch it. What are they doing? Emulate that. Obviously, Jesus is our model for everything. But as somebody like Paul, if he is modeling Christ, to study Paul then is not a horrible thing because you are really just studying the way that Jesus Christ wants us to behave and live. Do you have anybody like that in your life? Look around your church. Is there somebody in your neighborhood who's godly? They maybe go to a different church, but they just conduct themselves in a way that says godly. That was Erwin Lutzer for me. And the reason that he came to mind is he just sent me a text. And you are about to experience Erwin Lutzer. Now, this is just a godly man. And this guy, there's something about him, man. He's extraordinary. And his voice, talk about a magnificent voice. He took the time to send this to us as an encouragement. This is another thing worth studying. Erwin is 80-something. I'm not. He doesn't have to do this, but he did. He took the time to record We're going to be celebrating later this year, pretty soon actually, our 25th anniversary. I've been doing this for 25 years. Listen to what Erwin Lutzer sent. Sorry for the production quality on this.
Hi, Todd. Erwin Lutzer here. I want to congratulate you on 25 years of very faithful ministry. I love to listen to you because you are fair, you're willing to tackle the difficult issues, and thoroughly biblical. May the first 25 years be the beginning of the next 25 years. God bless.
How cool is that? How kind is that? By the way, his energy and his pacing, God has given this man some stamina. He's traveling around the globe, and I hope that others are studying him. When I grow up, I want to be like him. And I don't know when that's going to happen. I might need more than 82 years to get there. But he is one worth studying. And if you, by the way, are a pastor, he's another one worth studying because he's demonstrated longevity in ministry with a high degree of integrity. And it is my experience that there are a lot of ministers who don't have somebody like that in their life that they look up to get how to do it. In fact, I was reading an article. I hold it in my never-before-nicotine-stained fingers. This is from the Christian Post. This is Joseph Matera citing the top five regrets of older ministers when reflecting on their lives. Hey, Pastor, no question, you're going to have some regrets. We all have a few. But then again, you could minimize those by having an Erwin Lutzer in your life. Here's the regrets. And if you're thinking, well, this particular segment now isn't for me because this is about pastors. No, you're going to get some insight into your pastor and the struggles and the pressures that he feels. Number one, I sacrificed my spouse and children on the altar of ministry. Oof. That's a painful regret. Pastor, you don't want to do that. You want to be a minister who works hard, but not at the expense of your wife and children. Because if your wife is like miserable on an ongoing basis, an extended period of time, the kids, oh, they aren't looking so good. Honestly, I would tell you that if you don't get things adjusted, you should quit your pastoral ministry. They're first. That is all there is to it. They are simply first. Make sure they stay that way. And if you're not a pastor, you need to know that is a pressure for your pastor because he's called upon constantly to be involved in stuff. The schedule's always moving. Gotta meet with. There's a crisis with. It is ongoing. Not only that, but your pastor can walk around in a little bit of a stupor, like a little bit unplugged, not living in the present. Why? Because he's consumed with the affairs of the sheep that are underneath his charge and care. Number two, regret of older ministers. Putting programs before people. In other words, I think that if we get these things put in place, then people are going to grow and be taken care of. Well, those things are fine, but that's not the same as discipling. I'm telling you, discipling is where it is at, Daddy-O. This is why biblical counseling rocks. Why people, the light bulbs just go flashing all over the place. I can't tell you how many times we have heard this in Transformed, the TV show. You know, this is amazing. I've read that verse like 800 times. I had no idea that's what it meant for me. It could have even been in a sermon multiple times, but there's something about an individual coming alongside of an individual and sharing truth with them. There is power to that. Number three, I spent most of my time attempting to nurture the whole church myself instead of concentrating on potential leaders. Oh, Jimmy, you keep nodding your head in there as if you're kind of in the know on all of this stuff.
These are the same mistakes I made.
Yeah, well,
and number one is especially why I'm not pastoring today.
You sacrificed your spouse and children on the altar of ministry.
Absolutely.
Yep. I got to tell you, I'm trying to think of something about you that has impressed me more than your willingness to share that. Seriously.
Yeah.
That's pretty remarkable. but don't tell anybody I said that.
Okay.
Number three, I spent most of my time nurturing the whole church myself instead of concentrating on potential leaders. You got to let other people lead. No, they're not going to do it the same way you do. No, let's just assume they won't do it as well as you do. Although a lot of times they can. Make sure you got other people that are leading. Let them do it. Let them make decisions. Don't stay of the mentality of a mom and pop store. They got to be in control of everything. This is how you hold the broom when you sweep it. Okay. Don't be that way. Instead, empower and equip others to lead. That means you got to give up some of the control. Number four, I never befriended young people. Ooh. Billy Graham has said in one of the meetings I was present at, writes this author, one of his regrets is he never prioritized making friends with younger ministers. Because you got stuff they could learn. And finally, number five, I raised up faithful church members instead of sons and daughters. In other words, taught them a lot of stuff, but relationally, the regrets of older pastors. Pastor, you'll avoid those to a great degree if you find yourself a man to look up to and emulate him as he emulates Christ. This is Wretched Radio.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Giffert wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Pre-order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at FortisInstitute.org/lies. That's FortisInstitute.org/lies.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
What do you get when you combine eight of today's most trusted Christian voices with a commitment to unwavering biblical truth? Well, of course, you get Fortis Institute, your daily source for spiritual strength. We're not offering opinions here. We're providing a fortress of biblical wisdom for these challenging times that we're all living in. Every day, our fellows deliver fresh content that tackles real issues. Dr. John Crott shows you how to integrate theology into daily life. Brad Bigney transforms your struggling marriages into thriving relationships. Greg Giffert helps to bring biblical solutions to anxiety and depression. Plus, get exclusive access to private events, webinars, and studio sessions as a Fortis Insider. The best part? It's all free. Just visit FortisInstitute.org right now and join our community of believers who refuse to be tossed to and fro by the cultural waves. From podcasts and videos to live events and daily hot takes, Fortis Institute provides the biblical foundation you need to stand strong. Because in times like these, we need more than just information. We need transformation. Life doesn't come with calm storms. Sooner or later, the storm hits, and the world says the answer is boundaries. Build fences, keep people out, protect yourself. But the Bible never tells you to construct walls. Instead, it teaches you to anchor yourself to truth, to wisdom, to the unshakable foundation of God's Word.
That's where the Better Way with Libby Glossin comes in. Intelligent talk radio for women, like no other podcast out there. Always thoughtful and no self-help gimmicks, no fluffy cliches, just practical biblical wisdom that cuts through the noise and makes a real impact in your life. If you're tired of the feel-good messages that don't hold up when the storm comes, it's time for something different. It's time for the Better Way with Libby Glossin. Real truth, real wisdom like no other. Because in a world full of compromise, there is indeed a better way.
Books of the Bible. The book of Micah contains prophecies against the kingdoms of Judah and Israel. Micah warns of God's judgment for idolatry and oppressing the poor, but he offers hope of salvation in the coming Messiah, who is a shepherd, a judge, and a ruler. Those whom God has saved are charged to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with their God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Jimmy?
Yes?
Did we almost have a moment there? Dangerously close. Enough of that. Bonding and encouraging. Let's get back to Snippy and Snarky. This is Wretched Radio. With church news. There's a tsunami out there, not talking about a weather tsunami, but a tsunami of church closings. Uh-oh, a lot of businesses going under, because that's what a lot of these are, businesses. So it's not always bad when a church shutters their windows, but it could also be a sign of a changing society, and so it is. The Vice President of Research and Planning of the National Council of Churches estimates 100,000 U.S. churches will be closed over the next several years. It's about a quarter of all churches could be going under. Some of that's good. Some of that's mainline Protestantism that has gone off the Orthodox rails. These are the churches that have strayed. Now, these are the churches that just have decided we want to be like the culture and we want to affirm their sinful ways. And they're going out of business, and I couldn't be happier for it. And please, don't keep trying to infect your denomination. Just go out of business. Go become something else. Create your own religion. And please don't use anything from the Bible, if you'd be so kind. You don't believe in it anyway. Having said that, it's not something that we should be celebrating. It's not good that 100,000 churches won't be the salt and light that they are supposed to be. We're living in a time people need church. I'm not just for the sake of it being a crutch for them. They need it because that's the place where you grow the most. That's the culture in which you will flourish the most. This is God's ordained means for really putting fertilizer all over you and growing you. And that's what the local church is supposed to be. So when 100,000 of them in the next few years close, it ain't a good sign for America. Now, it might be a good sign if you're a startup church and you're looking to buy a church building, but you're going to have to compete against those who want to turn churches into condominiums. Doesn't that always break your heart? Try going to Europe. See one of these big cathedrals, one of these big Anglican churches. And now it's like a disco. It's a sign of the times, Petula. SBC pastors want another push to ban female clergy after the law amendment failed. And if you recall the law amendment, was it Mike Law, I believe?
Yes.
It fell short of by like 5 votes or some 5 percentage points shy of the 2/3 support needed the past year. I got to tell you, if you're in the SBC, I would encourage you stand strong on this. The capitulation on the issue of role of women in the church, it is the beginning of the kiss of death for you. Don't let it in. Every denomination that has, bye-bye, stand firm on these convictions. Was just reading an article. I read the book by John G. West. What's the syndrome where you adopt Stockholm syndrome? That's in the title of his book, John G. West. Just look for Stockholm syndrome. He's describing why so much of Western civilization is crumbling institutionally, specifically Christian campuses, because he was at Seattle Pacific U and he was a professor there. And when he started, the board was run by the Free Methodists that started the church. And it was classic conservative Protestant Methodism that really ruled the church because the board of elders were from the denomination. The president changed that so that it started to sever its ties with the denomination, and it allowed liberals to get in and take it over. But John West's observation was he doesn't really blame the liberals for taking it over, because that's what liberals do. You know, you're asking a cat not to meow. But he kind of points a finger at the board that let the president start to redefine who should be on the board. And they should have said no. And they didn't stand for their convictions. That's what I was getting from the article, which is kind of a recap of a few of the chapters in John's book, that the board didn't have the courage to go, no, we're not going to let you. No, we are going to stay this way. No, we're not going to alter so that we can get more students to come here. We are going to stand firm. And they didn't do that. And that is always the beginning of the end for an institution. And it will be the beginning of the end for the SBC if they capitulate on the role of women. So to those who are, when is the next convention coming up, Jimmy?
It should be in June. I'll look.
It should be, is it, it's not yearly, is it?
Yes.
It is?
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of conventioning that's going on there. No, 2026. I just found it in this article. I think they skip a year, if I'm not mistaken. Signatories of the letter include, you should know this, that there are some H.B. Charles of Shiloh. I didn't know that he was an SBC guy, H.B. Charles.
Yep, he is.
I get to be with him in September. I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be a fun conference. More on that as we get a little bit closer. Actually, you can go there now. Jimmy, mm-hmm. Hold on. I got the thing right here with the deal right here. No, that's not the one right there. Ah, here we have it. Tell everybody, Jimmy, what it's WJLU, right?
WJLU.org/conference.
And this is the cornerstone. This is helping you to stand in a post-Christian world. It's going to be encouraging. And H.B. Charles will be participating in that. And apparently he's one of the guys who signed the letter saying, hey, we need to revisit this. And to him, I say, salute. There's a pastor in Cumming, Georgia.
Hey, I live there.
You live in Cumming?
I do.
Pastor Jed Coppinger of First Baptist Church in Cumming, Georgia. Now that I'm thinking, Cumming, that's right in downtown,
yeah,
isn't
that's
it?
That's the big one right there. That's right.
Salute. Here's another one in the Atlanta area. Clay Smith of Johnson Ferry Baptist Church in Marietta. Cool. Salute to them. An encouragement to you. If 2026, Jimmy, is the next Southern Baptist Convention.
You might be right about that. I have not found
it. I'm sorry. Are we recording this?
Yes, we
okay,
are.
Okay, so I could listen to that again. All right. So I think it's 2026, regardless. Don't follow Protestantism in their downward trajectory toward total apostasy. Stand firm. Don't apologize for being conservative. That's what happened at Seattle Pacific. It's saying, no, this is how we stand. Yeah. If it causes a lower, if the budget gets, yep. Mm-hmm, but we are going to stand on truth and we're not going to apologize for being conservative. Here's a good church news story. An evangelical group is breaking ground on a worship center in Qatar, Q-A-T-A-R. We used to call it Qatar. But then Barack Obama came along and taught us all that it's Qatar. $50 million project, up to 10,000 worshipers in this Islamic nation. Most of the population, it's 2.7 million, made up of expatriates, 88%. 15% of the population identify as Christians. That is really quite impressive. because it's a Muslim majority nation. Evangelism, verboten. Muslims may not convert to any other religion. And it's affiliated with, the government-recognized Evangelical Alliance. Now, that can always be problematic, can it? But let's hope that this evangelical church that's being built in Qatar is going to be one that is actually preaching the gospel and that people get saved. According to 2023 U.S. Department on Religious Freedom in Qatar, conversion from Islam to another religion is legally considered apostasy and is prohibited by law. Nevertheless, God saves Muslims. Proselytizing on one's own accord for any other religion than Islam may result into up to 5 years imprisonment. Ooh. And a fine of $2,700 for possession of written or recorded materials that support or promote missionary activities. So to the Evangelical Church in Qatar, we say, Godspeed. This is Wretched Radio.